Hey everyone, and welcome to Variety Radio Online. I'm Rachel, and on the line with me I have Emily, and today we are talking about the latest episode of Once Upon a Time, The Other Shoe, which is the third episode of the sixth season. And I'm pretty sure it kind of like murdered everybody who was a Captain Swan fan, or David Anders fan, because we got Frankenstein back, which I was super excited for. And we had a lot of Cinderella action. A lot of old faces came back, which I really loved, and I felt like this episode was a it felt like season one again, and I love it.
Yes, that was exactly why I think that I loved it so much. Mostly because, well, before the episode even happened and before I even knew any of the Captain Swan stuff that was going to happen, I was already super excited because Cinderella was probably one of my favorite, I know she was in like a little blip in season one and like she hasn't really come back except for that one time last year or 2 years ago when they had the whole like her with the babies and everything. But I just loved her. I don't know. I just maybe it's just Jesse Schramm. I don't really know. I just was always like, oh, I love her, and I loved her and Thomas, and it's like the whole like how they kind of flipped the fairy godmother. So I just really liked her story in general, and I liked that they kind of gave her happy ending. You know, early on, she was like the first happy ending that Emma like brought back. So I just was really excited to see her back. So like before I even saw the rest of the episode, I already knew that I probably was gonna love it. So I was like really, really, really happy with it when I watched it. I was like, okay, I really like this Cinderella part. I like this Captain Swan stuff. I like this Henry and Hook stuff. I liked all of it, really. Like Snow and Charming were like on point for real. Like they haven't
Oh
been
my
in the world.
God.
They were finally back to being like season one. Like,
Right.
yes, Snow, like power couple, like amazing. I was so
Thank
happy.
you,
So,
because
so great.
I was like, when Snow was talking and that whole conversation, I was like, oh my God, is this happening? They're actually being logical and making sense, and like I agree with what they're saying. Like, it's been so long. Like, I love Snow and Charming, don't get me wrong, but sometimes I don't agree with them most days. I haven't for a while. So yeah, they were definitely back to like they're like kicking
Glory
ass, taking names, like.
Yeah, so great. I love that. Because recently it seems like they try we're trying to make Snow and Charming seem like less perfect and like make them have all these flaws. And then it was just like
That it
then
was
their
annoying.
relationship kind of got lost along the way and like their other relationships. Like I feel like I hope that if they're reverting back to their like season one kind of like feeling of the character, I hope that means that then in turn like Emma and Snow, that whole like dynamic will come back with where they're kind of really like close again. Not that they're not close right now, but just in a different way where they're act like they confide in each other more and like it's more of like a friendship. Because season one, Emma and Snow were was great. So I just kind of want that back. And then yes, Charming and Snow like trusting each other and like being honest. And obviously Charming still is kind of hiding away that his little thing with his dad, but at least he told her about it. And like, I'm sure whenever that unravels, it's going to cause some problems, but at least like he didn't try and hide it from her. They were like honest about it, that he's like stewing over this. And so, yeah, I just really liked the way that they handled Snow and Charming in this episode and just overall in the last three episodes. I feel like they've been pretty on point with Snow and Charming, which they were like the reason I fell in love with the show in the first place. So obviously that was like in Emma too, but like before Captain Swan or anything that kind of kept me going, Snow and Charming were like the thing that I really liked about the show. So I'm glad that they're kind of back to their old ways of being like something that I'm like really excited about again, because I missed that.
Yeah, and the whole her defeat and repeat line, I like screamed. I was like, finally, someone is acknowledging this. The
The
fact
show went
that
really meta for a second because that's really what the show is, like defeat, repeat, like
And they don't have a time to process anything, and they don't have normal lives, and they don't have that downtime ever. That's always one thing right after another. And I was like literally like it, like so happy that they finally acknowledged this. And I feel like this is them attempting to finally give us back the normalcy that we had somewhat in season
yeah.
one.
Because at least in season one, even though it was like they were technically fighting, it wasn't like they didn't know they were. So everyone else was just living their lives, and Emma is like the only one who really was like in with conflict, like her and Henry against Regina, but like everybody else, it was more of like, that's just their daily lives. Like they're going up against the mayor because she's mean to them or whatever. It wasn't like they knew that it was this magical, crazy thing and all the stuff. So like all the everyday drama still played out, like while the bigger picture was playing out. So I think that that's what they're trying to go for. Like they want all this domestic like drama to play out at the same time as like, oh, well, Hyde's here and so is the evil queen and all this stuff, but at the same time Emma's conflicted about moving in with Hook, and then Snow and Charming have their own little thing going on, and just
it's I'm here for it, totally
100% here for it, because I think it makes it way better and more interesting than just, oh, we're gonna go face off against the villain and they're gonna beat us and then we're gonna try again and then we're gonna figure it out and then that's it and then the next person comes in and we're gonna do the same thing. So I think this is a little bit better of a formula.
So one of the first scenes
my heart's already it's already stopping at the thought of this.
At the thought of the Scarlet Letter? Yeah, me too. I mean, I just I was so excited for that.
Kidding. That's not what we're talking about.
That's not what I'm talking about either. I am talking about Killian Jones with a child, and he put whipped cream on his nose, and I am not one that gets all, well, okay, I am kind of trash sometimes when hot guys are with children. I don't want kids, but when I see someone like Killian Jones put whipped cream on his nose to entertain a child, I mean, I felt Emma's aching womb from like my TV screen. Those
those hard eyes were real. Like that, she was like huge energy at that point. Like
she really was. I think everybody had an aching womb. Even men would watch the scene and have an aching womb. Like,
yeah,
just ugh. I was not expecting it. And I died. And my friend Sarah was able to go to New York Comic Con, and she told me, she's like, you need to watch it live. She's like, it's my one of my most favorite episodes since Good Form. And I'm like, how good can this episode be? And then it happened, and I was like,
I know. Oh,
okay, I get it.
Yeah, and I wasn't watching it live, and then I saw that, like, a gif of that, the thing on Tumblr, and I was like, or on Twitter, and I was like, excuse me, what? I need to watch this right now? And then I couldn't watch it until, like, the next day, and it was, like, killing me. I was like, oh my god, I just want to watch this so bad. But, yeah, that part definitely was awesome, and it solidified the fact. Then later we find out that Emma really, like, you know, she really was, like, she looked at Killian with that child, and she was comparing her life right now to Ashley and Thomas's, and that she was like, that's what she wants. Like, to her, happiness would be moving in with Hook, you know, Henry, you know, that is part of their family too, he would stay there every once in a while with them, like they would trade off, I'm sure, with Regina, but then, you know, they would have, then maybe they would start a family together, and like that would be happiness. And I was like, oh my god, like, just
kill me now.
My little domestic heart, I was like, oh man, like, I want all of that. Like, can I have it right now?
See, like, I'm usually one more for angst and everything, but then when I saw this scene and I saw Emma's face, I was like, oh my god, I need it. Like, I am all here for Daddy Killian, like.
And then he had to go and be all, like, sword fighting with Henry, and I was like, Jesus, like, this whole episode is just, they're really trying to hammer home that, like, Hook and Emma are, like, trying to be a family, and I'm just like, oh, man, it's just, it really makes my heart beat really
fast. And he got very British in this episode, too. I don't know why, I'm not complaining at all, I loved it. But I noticed that he got super British in this episode for some of his lines. Yeah. And it was great.
It was.
I wish the scene with Henry was a little longer, but I'll take what I can get. Because we usually don't get those scenes.
That basically, and the way he said, oh, he's getting better, just shows that they do that all the time. It's not.
Oh my god, I didn't even think about that. They do that all the time.
So I'm here for knowing that these things are happening in the background, even if I'm not seeing them, because at least it gives me some semblance of, okay, like, they're actually, like together and spending time together and not just...
Well, I feel like that's how their entire relationship has been on the show in general. They always, like, oh, Hook's taking me sailing, and we're doing this and doing that. But to finally see a little hint of it, I was like...
I know.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And then... the three of them like going after Ashley when she ran away or whatever she was doing. Just yeah, the family dynamic between the three of them this episode was probably the best thing about the episode.
It really was.
Really
It was
was.
on point.
Their whole like when she was sitting on the ground and the two of them were standing, and it just they had this whole like conversational dynamic where they were bickering a little, and then Henry's like, "No, this is what it is, and we're gonna figure it out." And just he kind of
I
brought them
was cracking up over that scene. And then when he called her My Emma, My Emma's
down.
too strong for that. I was like, oh,
It was like
snap.
when he called her my princess back in the
Yes.
Captain Swan movie.
Oh, and it's not like a possessive thing. It's like a, it's a term of endearment. And I was,
He's like, because she is everything to him, so that is his Emma, like
yeah,
just everything.
that's his world. And I
Basically, he's
really,
saying he belongs to her and not the other way around.
exactly.
Because,
Yeah.
yep, that's how I feel.
Although I did really want a scene of him and Belle snoring, because I need all the Captain Book things in my life.
Yes. I also. Going back to the whole diner scene at the beginning, I just really liked when Ashley said, "Oh, so any chance of a fairy tale ending for you two?" And when he admitted that Emma was like taking her sweet time asking him to move in, and he like admitted that he's frustrated but okay with it because he knows like that's how she operates. I'm just like, oh, perfect in every way, like goals
Which is
100%.
why, yeah, I mean, he's always been so patient with her, and it's been a thing that I think really defines their relationship in a way, because he's never one to push her past what her limits are, and he waits for her to come to him. Like, he obviously knows something's wrong, and I feel like it was driven home even more so when he was saw that she couldn't do her magic, but he didn't
Yeah,
question
and
it. He
then he
didn't
grabbed her hand
he
and just comforted her anyway. It was
Yeah, he put her comfort above his own of knowing what's wrong, and I can't with him.
yep.
I just can't.
And
I'm sorry.
then when he fin then at the end when they finally figured everything out and they were sitting there and she goes, "Move in with me," and he almost seems surprised because he was expecting to have to wait and willing to wait even
He's
longer. But
always surprised, and I love it.
yeah, because you could tell he would have waited forever, like for her. Like it brings me back to kind of like this, he like proposed to her in season three when he was when he said, "Oh, even if we're 70 years old and Henry has kids, like I want to be with like that kind of thing." I think that's like what Emma is like looking for. So that's like kind of how Hook it always has been with her. Just like he's willing to wait for her to be ready for things. So I just really liked that they kind of showed that he knows what's going on, like not just we saw both sides of their like the whole Archie thing and everything. It kind of we finally got to see both sides of one thing for once, not just Emma's angst or Killian's angst, or like we got to see both sides. So I thought that was
And
probably
the running red leather jacket joke is like the epitome of everything that I need right now. Like, oh, when you put it that way.
yep, the leather joke was that was I liked that too. It was yeah, because it's funny because I've noticed though is that ever since the first episode red leather jacket thing, or he mentioned it, she hasn't worn red leather since then, which is kind of strange, but now she's been wearing like black leather more and like not wearing leather at all. So I know that's kind of like showing that she has like shed her armor and now she's like putting on like black leather. So it's like she's like accepting Hook's kind of style into her. I just it's like a small thing, but I just noticed
It
that
is. No,
she has
I've
not
been
worn red
noticing it
leather
too.
since the first episode. There's only been three, but I feel like she I don't think she's gonna put it back on for at least a little while. But yeah, that was just like a small thing where I was like, "Oh, ironic that you say that because you're wearing black leather right now, and so is he." Like,
Yeah, I like, and I know that Jen has a lot to say with Emma's wardrobe. So I feel like this is definitely something Jen's kind of like. And she's definitely becoming more, not like feminine, but softer kind of with her clothing.
yeah.
More laces and flower patterns. So I think it's just more of like Emma being comfortable and not feeling the need to hide behind her armor, like you said. So
definitely.
The whole stepsisters twist, I really liked. I was very surprised.
Because it wasn't enough just for them to have Rumpelstiltskin be the fairy godmother and the reason she went to the ball. Obviously, they eventually had to show the ball because we saw that her and Thomas ended up together in season one, but we never really saw, like, their first dance or anything. It just kind of, it was more about, like, the end game with them of, like, them being together and how he wanted their baby. So I liked that we got to go back and, like, go to the ball and find out why, like, Snow and Charming knew them. Like, because when they were at their wedding, I was kind of just like, oh, I assume, you know, they're royalty. They all know each other, whatever. I didn't really question it.
But that's, it was nice to see them
at the ball. That's when they met. And she's the one who was like, hey, look, he looks like he's interested in you. I just like that little dynamic of the layers of the backstory explaining things a long time ago.
Two of my favorite things at the ball. I am Gus with free cheese.
Yes. With the cheese. Yes. With no cheese left behind. That's the motto I live in my life. Yes.
And the fact that they made a comment like, oh, he looks very charming. And she's like, sorry, that name's taken. Which is,
that was the greatest line.
Because Prince Charming literally was Cinderella's prince in
There's two Prince Charmings in Disney, and it's very confusing.
Well, there's really not, though, because the Snow White one was...
The Snow White one didn't have a name at all. They never even say. He's just the prince.
But if you look, it's like Prince Florentine or Florence or something.
So the Charming thing was just got added as an afterthought, because, you know, every prince of a princess is a Prince Charming, so...
But I just thought it was so funny that they finally, like, kind of, like, semi-addressed that. I was like, that is great.
Yeah.
I see what you're doing.
Oh, just, we always gotta give a round of applause to Jane Ebsen for this episode, because it was so beautifully written and just everything that I want an episode Once Upon a Time to be, and I wish every single one could be this way.
I don't think anyone has ever been unhappy with her writing.
A Jane episode?
A Jane episode.
Never. I don't think I've ever been unhappy with an episode she has written. But yeah, the whole stepsister thing was cool, other than the fact that they totally kind of forgot about the second stepsister after the ball.
What was her name?
I don't even know. Did they say her name?
Did they even say it? Because it's not the original names, right?
Yeah, it's not Drusilla and whatever.
Anastasia?
Anastasia, yeah, that's it. I was like, what's the other one's name? But, so I love, that was the only weird part about it to me, is that they, like, really focused on the one sister, and the other sister just, like, when they went to the, at the end, you know, after the whole thing where Cinderella had to, like, give up the name and place of where her stepsister was meeting her peasant boyfriend, because apparently that's the worst thing in the world, you know.
God forbid.
You marry someone lower than you, like, your life is over, whatever. But I did like how they had her, Clorinda, apologize to Cinderella for being, like, so mean, and the whole, you know, the whole part with how they threw the dress in the fire and that whole thing where they came up with, like, Cinderella. I liked all the little parts of their backstory, and just the fact that the stepmom was really just so evil in the point where she was gonna, she tried to blackmail Cinderella, and then she tried to, like, ruin her daughter's life by, like, she was gonna kill her boyfriend. Like, just a lot. She's pretty evil.
She fits in to parents on this show, though. Really. Obviously not, like, Snow and Charlie,
Cora. But then the whole thing helped. Of course, Cinderella's mom just happened to have a key to the Land Bundle stories. So conveniently. But it was cool, I guess, to see that, like, how she went there, and then that was like 28 years of her, probably 30 years of her poisoning her against Cinderella and making her think that it was all her fault that she lost her happy ending or whatever. But then how, without even knowing, she ended up at her boyfriend's, like, pumpkin farm in Storybrooke. I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Of all the places in the world, he happened to be in Storybrooke, and they ended up there, and then they reunited, and I just
I thought his name, see, I was kind of upset that they didn't name him Peter, because It made me think of when Violet's horse ran away, and it was Peter Peter Pumpkin Eater Patch or whatever.
Okay.
Or it was Peter's Pumpkin Patch, whatever it was an ode to Peter Peter Pumpkin Eater, and I had really hoped that his name was Peter, but it was Jacob, and that was a missed opportunity there, guys.
Missed opportunity. Maybe there's more than one pumpkin patch in story for that.
Apparently there is.
Oh, so funny. Yeah, I liked the Cinderella backstory. I think they did it well. And just the way it played out in Storybrooke, and how, I liked how they made the stepmom like do community service at the end. She was like picking up trash on the side of the highway. I thought that was really
That
funny.
was great. And
So funny.
Leroy.
And Leroy's always great. He's good for a good one-liner, of course.
Yes.
But lots of yelling.
Yeah. The whole Dr. Jekyll and Dr. Whale lab
Nerdy science bros.
I am here for it. And the
Yes.
fact that Snow like wants them to be teachers, like I was just
Her
like
whole crusade of like normalcy. Yeah, I think that's super cute. I think, yeah, him and Jekyll and Dr. Whale. Yeah, that's a good combo, and it's very sassy. of course, because it's Dr. Whale.
yeah.
It was just funny how he just like showed up, and he's like, "Oh, you probably know me by a different name, Frankenstein." And of course, being Dr. Jekyll, he of course recognizes the name Frankenstein, because they're probably from the same kind of realm of stories. So I just like that little part of it too, how they were like, "Oh, you need a science lab? Dr. Whale has one, because he's Dr. Frankenstein, duh."
Yeah, we'll help you. It's totally fine. We got this. Another thing I'm completely here for is the Evil Queen and Mr. Hyde. When they left I don't even know what's called that. The hospital,
The
the
asylum?
it, I mean it, it's like the
Yeah.
basement of the hospital.
Yeah. Well, based on the padded cells, I'm pretty sure it's a mental institution, like in the basement of the hospital. Because that's what they called it when they talked about Belle being there. They're like, "Oh, you locked me in the asylum for 28 years." So I
Yeah.
guess that's what they're going with. It's an asylum.
And I'm pretty sure my other favorite character is the guy that's always mopping with the really long hair.
Yes, it's
I
like,
want a backstory for him, honestly. Like, I want to know who he is.
how? And that the nurse too. Like, how does she just go along with all of this? Like, I just want to know, like, why she's still down there? Why does she still listen to Regina? Like, and the evil queen, I guess. Because how did no one think that once the evil queen was there once, that she wasn't gonna come back and try and break him out?
Yeah.
Like, did no one think of that? It just.
I mean, it's not like it's like inaccessible because Killian broke Xelena out super easily last season. So it's not a
Yeah.
very good institution. If anyone in Storybrooke is planning on, putting someone there, you might want to rethink that because
Yeah, you might
it's
want to
not very
yeah, maybe
promising.
next time. Bottom line, just don't ever lock anyone up in the asylum, because they're gonna get out anyway.
Exactly. I think that pretty much wraps it up. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Oh, one more thing. Robert Carlyle and his Scottishness with that
Oh,
little,
yes. Can't
that
forget about that. That was
adorable little rhyme.
Killian went really British in this episode, and people went really Scottish,
Super Scottish.
which it makes more sense that Rumple goes super Scottish, because Robert Carlyle actually is Scottish, and he just doesn't use a Scottish accent unless he's like some things he says when he's Rumple. His like dark one voice is like a mix in between, but his like Mr. Gold voice is like more normal. So it was like really Scottish, like really Scottish. So that was, yeah, that was a sweet part, even though I'm still like, "Rumple, you suck." It was nice that he at least was took the time to think of his child and didn't try to like press with Belle. He just sent this, tape with Charming or whatever. And just he left it at that. So maybe that's a good sign, but who knows?
Who knows? Like, honestly, I don't even know anymore. I don't know. It's a mess. It's always a
It's
mess when Rumple's involved.
yep, pretty much.
Rumple's a hot mess. Speaking of hot messes, David looks like he's falling down the path of revenge. And I'm sure we'll definitely see more of that, which will most likely include Captain Hook. I'm still calling that. They're going to act like, you know, this is going to be like when we went to the underworld and they're like, we're going nowhere. No one would ever think we would go before. And we're like, we guessed this like 4 months ago, but okay. We'll let you think.
A lot of the times they're pretty predictable.
They're about as subtle as a brick to the face on this show.
Yeah. The good thing is, though, they're predictable, but then there's always something about it that you don't see coming. So that's why, honestly, otherwise the show probably wouldn't exist anymore, because everyone would be like, we call your tricks every time. So they always find some way, because I think that they show their predictability, but then they hide something else behind it. So
like Hook becoming the Dark One? No one saw that shit coming.
I didn't see that coming at all. I was like, oh my god. Like, we all thought that the fact that his name was on Excalibur meant that they were, like, destined to be together.
Yeah, I was so happy. It was such a happy time when the spoiler fix came out.
And then you're like, no, it actually means he's the Dark One.
He's actually super evil and wants to kill everybody.
It's fine. So I'm hoping that this charming thing, because they're clearly hinting that there's something about his death that he doesn't know, and that he was stabbed. I think that was this episode that we found this out, that he had a stab wound. Instead of, he didn't, like, actually die in the cart.
Stab, like, from a hook?
Or a sword? Or, because some people think, I think, on the internet, it's either that Hook killed him, or that something that Hook was doing with this Captain Nemo guy somehow related to his death. So, technically the one who killed him, but Hook knows about it and doesn't know that it's Charming's dad. Etc. It's gonna be it's gonna be like a lie of omission, I think. I don't think he knows who he was. So I think it's gonna be more of like he's gonna find out, oh, that was your dad. Oh, and then he's not gonna say anything about it, like how we did with Ariel and Eric, that whole situation. So I think that's what's gonna happen, but who knows? You never really know.
Yeah, I don't think I'm probably gonna get mad at Charming for blaming Hook because it's not like he knew, and we all know Hook has a past.
Yeah.
So I can understand him being mad for a little bit, but if he, like, turns it into, like, a giant thing, like...
Like how when they were like, you didn't send us the bird, we don't trust you.
Yeah, like, I was like, really?
Calm down. Just calm down, Charmings, okay?
Calm your tits.
Just give people the benefit of the doubt, okay? Like, it's fine. So hopefully that's what happens, and hopefully we get to find out soon, because all this like wishy-washy waiting around for this Charming thing to play out, I'm like, I want some Charming backstory, okay? I love Charming.
Let's get the show on the road, people. Let's
get it on the road here.
So next week, I think we get
Jack Hyde backstory. Yes.
I was gonna say Jasmine and Aladdin, or is that 2 weeks?
Jasmine, I think, based on the promotional pictures, Jasmine is in the episode, but the backstory of her and Aladdin is not, because she is, like, a teacher at the school. But the backstory in this week's episode, the next episode, is Jekyll and Hyde, and then the week after is the Aladdin and Jasmine backstory, because they said, and in 2 weeks, the eagerly awaited, you know, story of Aladdin and Jasmine. They're really pushing this Aladdin thing because they know how much people love them, so which is good. So it should be interesting to see. But yeah, I think we're gonna meet Jasmine in the next episode, so that'll be cool. Yes. Storybook Jasmine.
We keep you around, because we've got all the info.
Yep.
Someone's on top of it. All right, guys. Be sure to check us out on our website for more recaps, interviews, and news at thebro.com. We are on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at thebro. And we are on Instagram and Tumblr at Variety Radio Online. And we are also on Audioboom and iTunes and Blog Talk Radio. So we will see you next week for episode 4. Yes.
Yes.
Episode 4. Sometimes I forget to count. Okay. We'll see you then. Bye, guys.
Bye.